Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior Jesus Christ. God's word for us on this Reformation Day comes from Romans chapter 3, where again we hear from verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith." And then in verse 27, "Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." This is God's word. On October 31st, 1517, 504 years ago to the day, an Augustinian monk named Martin Luther nailed a paper to the door of the castle church in Wittenberg, Germany. This action was not unusual. In those days, the church door served as the town bulletin board. But this particular paper was very unusual. It dared to question the practices of the Roman Catholic Church, and that paper sparked the Reformation movement, which changed the face of Christianity forever. So, what was in that paper? Well, in it, Martin Luther had a lot to say about the sale of indulgences, which allegedly shortened the amount of time souls would have to spend in purgatory. Luther posted his list, hoping someone would be willing to discuss these questions in an academic setting. After all, he was a teaching professor at the local university. But how did this paper start a worldwide movement? What was the big deal? Well, the big deal was that Luther used the Bible as his basis to question the practices of the church. And in the process, he questioned the sale of indulgences, which had been a successful fundraiser. And by questioning indulgences, he was questioning the authority that had okayed this fundraiser. And that went all the way to the top, to the Pope himself. Luther suggested being formed by the Word of God rather than by human tradition, and if human tradition contradicted the Word of God, then the human tradition had to be discarded. What seems like common sense today was a controversy then, but Luther would not back down from his fundamental stance of letting God's Word have the final say in all matters. Now, I said Luther used the Bible. One of the Bible passages that would come to mean so much to him was today's epistle reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. And the parallels between Luther's situation and Paul's situation are worth noting. Paul was writing about religious leaders at the time of Christ who had developed a distorted picture of themselves by thinking that they essentially obeyed the law of God, that they were doing a pretty good job of it. They had developed a pride that was destroying them. The law, Paul says, cannot be used to justify yourself. That's because the law shows us our sins. What we do to keep the law will not make us right with God. We could never do enough, well enough. And Paul also cautions his non-Jewish audience, no one is righteous, he says. There's no difference. Doesn't matter where you come from. All have sinned. What then becomes of pride, he writes? It's excluded. In other words, people who are truly walking with God are no longer trying to justify themselves because we are justified, which is to be declared not guilty apart from works of the law. The Church of Luther's time declared a different message. Pope Leo X wanted to complete St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome, and a lot of money needed to be gathered in order to complete that project. So Pope Leo ruled that indulgences, certificates of God's pardon, should be sold in Germany. It was proclaimed and believed that whoever bought an indulgence not only received forgiveness of sins, but would also escape punishment in purgatory, a kind of holding tank for souls that Scripture makes no reference to at all. And when Martin Luther finally understood what was going on, he was outraged. Souls for whom Jesus died were at stake. The gospel of Jesus was being denied by the very organization that was supposed to proclaim it. Luther protested the sale of indulgences not to make a name for himself, but because the sale of indulgences threatened to destroy, to undermine a Christian's relationship with God. As Luther wrote in the paper that he posted, referred to often as the 95 Theses, and I quote, "The true treasure of the church is the most holy gospel of the glory and grace of God." End quote. You cannot purchase this treasure as a consumer good. It can only be received by faith. So Martin Luther used what the Apostle Paul wrote to demonstrate from Scripture that we are not saved by the things we do. We are saved by what Jesus has done for us. God offered His Son as a sacrifice of atonement on the cross. We have life through faith in Jesus' blood. The church of Luther's era had become a self-preserving, inwardly focused organization. Luther used this passage and others like it to begin renovations. The Word of God itself was the active, demolishing, reforming force. The law of God tore down, and the gospel of Jesus built up. The gospel started construction on the true foundation, Jesus, who came to bring reconciliation with God and a life free from fear to those who believe. And so let's just take a moment to consider a related question. When is the best time to repair your home? Let's say you notice a problem with the shingles on your roof. When should that be fixed? And what will happen if you wait too long? The Reformation, at the time of Luther, was a major event because ongoing repairs had been ignored. Worst thing of all was that the foundation of the church had been undermined. Pride in tradition, human tradition, grew as Christ was displaced. So if Reformation can be compared to keeping your house in good repair, then it's worth asking today, what do we need the Word of God to fix? What does the law of God need to tear out of us? And what does the gospel, the good news of Jesus, need to build in us? If we think of Reformation Day primarily as a day where it's okay to attack Roman Catholicism, and we've missed the point. We're no different than the Jews and Gentiles that Paul wrote to. We're not better people than other Christians, ancient or modern. We're always in danger of slipping across the divide from confidence in what God has done to pride in what we think we're doing so well. There's even a type of pride that we can take in being heirs of the Reformation that comes close to, look how special and smart we are. And that is not acceptable. Why not? Paul writes, pride is excluded. A person is justified by faith without the works of the law. Pride is excluded by faith. Faith builds. Faith reforms. But faith does not boast in anything but Jesus. The Reformation was a refocusing on the light and the work of Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior. That focus was gained through two lenses. The law is one, the gospel is the other. The law lens shows us our sinfulness. The gospel lens shows us our Savior, Jesus. So we can say that the law tears out efforts focused on building a proud human tradition. And the grace of God points us in the direction of people who need to hear the good news in a way that makes sense to them. The law tears down our efforts to protect the church, keep it safe. The gospel sends us to take risks in our attempts to reach others who, as of right now, are estranged from Christ. The law breaks down our attempts to self-justify by making a sparkling resume for ourselves. The law tears out any attempt to make the church an exclusive club where everyone is just like us. The gospel opens our hearts to other sinners that Jesus wants to welcome. That law lens finds what is broken, what is rotten, what is dead, and tears it out. The gospel news of Jesus' completed work makes repairs, builds new things, renovates hearts. It remodels us in the likeness of Jesus. As we receive His gifts by faith alone. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you only are the Holy One, and over all, our Lord alone. O Jesus Christ, we glorify you and the Spirit, Lord Most High. With him, you evermore shall be one in the Father's majesty. In your name we pray. Amen.